Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and we're commemorating the Veterans Day. This is not Veterans Day, but it's the day after. But for us, it is, because this is the day we're celebrating veterans. Wherever you are, however you served, my friends, and as you know, I have a broader definition of veteran here in around here. And so, if, in my opinion, if you wore a uniform, if you signed up and said, "Take me, I'll go," whatever that service was, and however long you put yourself in that position. As far as I'm concerned, if you were in the military, if you signed a military document like that, that makes you a veteran. We're having a great visit with Ken Davis, the resident historian of the Brain Trust, author of many books, including his new one, More Deadly Than War. It's about how the flu, the Spanish flu, affected the outcome of World War I. And, of course, this is the 100th anniversary of the end of the war, the Armistice Day, the 11th hour, as you said earlier, Ken, the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918. Which was just yesterday. So you were telling us earlier about, in the previous segment, about the connection of the flu to the war. But then there was the war was over, and there was Armistice Day, and that's what they called it. And then a year later, President Wilson commemorated it as a national holiday, didn't he? He recognized Armistice Day in America.
That's right. It was more of a presidential proclamation. It later did become a full national holiday, but still as Armistice Day. And this was a very, very powerful and important moment in American history. This is not just a celebration. The war had been traumatic for America. It had changed America, especially coming with the trauma of the flu. And that's one of the reasons that the flu kind of got written out of the story, is that it was so traumatic, people didn't want to think or talk about it. But it was in 1919
Why do you think that was the case? Why was it, if it was that big of a deal, why were people denying it?
I think, Jim, you know how I've talked to many, many people around the country since this book came out who all tell me the same story. Oh, yeah, my grandmother said that somebody in the family had it, but they never really wanted to talk about it. It's not that they were ashamed of it. It was just that it was so terrible they wanted to forget about it.
Do you think it had anything to do with what they did with the dead? Because the reason I asked that question is I'm pretty sure I know a community that has a mass grave. And nobody at that community knows where that mass grave is, but they know that it's there.
Yeah,
they know there has been one. It was because of how the dead had to be treated in those days. It was so horrible, so counter to humanity, that people just wouldn't talk about it after that. What do you think?
I think it's more the feeling that we all have when something terrible happens, and you just say to your friends, "Oh, it was so terrible, I don't want to talk about it."
Like getting a combat veteran to talk about what they saw.
In some respects, I think it is. The whole country had been traumatized. That whole country had been stressed. So we didn't want to talk about it. Even the doctors who were trying to fight it didn't write much about it in their memoirs. So it's almost 50 years after the flu that the first book that talks about it being the forgotten loss. This flu reduced the life expectancy in America by 11 years in 1 year. In 1918, 675,000 people. Now, we had a bad flu season last year. It was 80,000 died. We had 675,000 die. If we multiplied that in terms of a population is three times size. We'd be talking about close to 2 million people dying of the flu in America. There was no place in the country that was unaffected. But the country wanted to get back to normal. That's what Harding campaigns on, you know, return to normalcy. They wanted to forget about Europe. They wanted to push out. We became more isolated. And part of that fear of foreigners, part of the first really harsh immigration laws in the country were passed in the 1920s, mostly to keep out Eastern Europeans and Italians.
Right.
Part of it was the idea that these people bring disease, which is not the case at all.
You know,
that's not where the flu came from.
There's another. There's a couple more things that I think to think about. Number one is you know, Hitler after World War One and others blamed the loss of the war on the Jews, and George S. Seldes went across Bavaria to interview von Wilhelm, and he, I think that's who the guy was. And to ask him, why did you lose the war? Was it because of the Jews? He said, no, it was because we couldn't beat the Americans. But what I think might be...
There's no question.
Well, but you know what?
Yeah.
That never got reported. He sent that report back to America. It never found its way into the papers. But here's the rest of the story. You wonder if the flu affected the war, could that have minimized the American history that America beat the Germans? I mean, is that part of it, you think?
No, if you go back and look at the records, it's pretty clear. One thing is, I mentioned the Germans tried to mount a major offensive in the spring of 1918 before the Americans arrived because they knew they were coming. And that offensive had to be halted because there were too many German soldiers sick with the flu. Half a million were down with the flu. So it did affect the progress of the war in the spring of 1918. But I think it's widely recognized and acknowledged that this million American men who were thrown into the conflict all of a sudden, well-armed, well-equipped, well-fed. I include a quote from...
Hold on to that thought. When we come back, we're going to take our Mrs. Day to Veterans Day in the next second. Stay with us. Great.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.